chapter 8.
The Bible is not just any old book. It's God's book. And when we read it, God is able to help us in a very special way. This morning, we are going to hear God's voice. And he's going to tell us how to be ready when hard things happen. Hard things do happen, don't they? People can be mean to you. Someone at school or even a brother or sister can be mean. It's horrible when people are mean or say things that hurt. It's very hard. Or you can get hurt or sick. Tummy aches are nasty. Who's had a tummy ache this year? Sometimes people get really bad headaches that last for a very long time. People have accidents and sometimes they have to go to hospital. Who's been to hospital? Those are hard times as well. And even if hard things haven't happened to us, sometimes they happen to people we love. I was very sad when a friend of mine was killed in a car crash. When bad things happen, we need to be ready. God wants us to be ready, and so he's written down some things in this book to help us to be ready. And this morning we're going to look at three of them, one after another, and each of them are brilliant. Here's the first one, Romans 8, verse 18. Can we read it aloud together, everybody? Romans 8, verse 18. Together. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's it. Isn't that brilliant? What it says is suffering now, glory later. Suffering now, glory later. And the glory will outshine the suffering the same way when the sun comes out, it outshines the moon. Which is brighter? The sun's much brighter than the moon. Glory is much brighter than suffering. No matter how hard things get in life, never forget that glory is coming. But what's glory? Glory is what will happen to all Christians at once when Jesus comes back, or one at a time when we each reach the end of our life. That'll be glory. Glory is being saved by God to be with him in new bodies forever. Glory is the ending of everything sad for Christians. Glory is being set free from being sick or hurting forever. Glory is so good and so great that God wants us never to forget how good it's going to be, especially when things are hard. And you know when something is coming but it hasn't arrived yet, you feel like you can't wait. Who hasn't been on holiday yet and is looking forward to it? Be glad you're not stuck on the A2. But you look forward to it so much, you keep telling yourself what it'll be like when it comes. And when you do that, you forget some of the hard things that you're in the middle of right now. I bet those people who are stuck in a traffic jam for 18 hours on the road, waiting to get on the ferry to go to France, are telling themselves, but it'll be great when we get where we're going. There'll be a swimming pool and food. Well, glory is like that. But even if we could think of the best examples of waiting for something brilliant like your birthday or Christmas or holidays or seeing your grandparents or going to watch your favorite team, they won't be as good as glory. Because glory will not disappoint you. Sometimes your team doesn't win, even if you've gone to see them. Is that right? Does that happen to anybody? Like a holiday when it rained all the time. Does that happen to anybody? It was nice to be camping near some mountains, but rain spoiled it. Or a bit like waiting to be given a present, but when you get it, it was smaller and not as good as you wanted it to be. Well, glory won't be like that. Glory is going to be all you hope for and more. And Paul, writing to this letter, says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that'll be revealed in us. Hard things now, glory later. And there was one man who had really, really hard things happen to him all his life. Jesus was not understood. He was arrested. He was beaten and he was crucified. That was horrible. That was suffering. But glory came later. Do you know what happened later? He rose from the dead. He got a resurrection body. And in going to be with his Father, he made it possible for millions of others to be able to look forward to glory too. Don't forget, suffering now, glory later. And you know what? Sometimes those who go through the hardest things now are the ones who can look forward to glory best. They're the ones who learn to hope the strongest and for whom what God has promised is more special and more wonderful and more real than it is for the rest of us. So while I don't want anybody to have hard things happen to them, when they do, I know that they are the ones who will learn to look forward to glory best. Suffering now, glory later. Okay, that was the first one, and I've got that one and the other one written down on these special cards, which I want everyone to have, but I need someone to hand them out. So children, can you all come and get them from me and take one back to your mum and dad as well? Yeah, take one back to your mum. Take one back to your dad. Can you all read the second one? What does it say? It says, know that in all things God works for good. And that's in verse 28. So let's read it. Everybody, Romans 8, verse 28. Out loud with me. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Okay. God is in charge. He is the boss. Nothing happens in his universe that he hasn't given permission for it to happen. Now, I like to think I'm in charge of some things. Like when driving my car, I'm the one who turns the engine on. I'm the one who steers it and makes the car go where I want it to go. And I don't let anyone sit in my car who hasn't put on their seatbelt. So I'm in charge in my car. I like to think I am. But what God wants to remind us of from this verse is that he is in charge over all. And nothing happens in the world that he hasn't allowed to happen. All the good things, of course, they come from him. Sunny days, good food, friends, holidays, they all come from him. But also he's in charge of hard work, and when it rains, and when hard things happen to us as well. And our verse says, know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. But how can bad things work for good? Because God's in charge of even the bad things. How can bad things work for my good? I don't like it when I get sick. Do you? No. I want God to stop it straight away. I want to be healthy now. Or I don't like it when people are mean to me. I want them to stop. Or I don't like it when someone I love dies. I can't see what's good about that. How can you say God is working for good in all things? Well, this is hard in itself. We need to learn to trust that God is working for good in all things, even when we can't see why. God wants us to trust him that he is. Sometimes we will be able to see it. Like when I had a very sore back earlier this year. I fell off my bike and I hurt my back and I could hardly move. I found it hard to sleep. I couldn't put on my own socks. I could hardly walk and it was horrible. I couldn't do all the things I wanted to be able to do. But you know what? I began to be thankful to God for my body in a way that I hadn't done before. And I began to understand better what it's like for people who have to be in wheelchairs all the time. Or maybe who've had their legs taken off. God was showing me how other people feel all the time by giving me a few weeks of something hard. Now, all of that was God working for my good. In fact, best of all, that hard thing made me think about suffering now and glory later even more than I did before. When Jesus was arrested by the Romans and he was put on trial and then he was executed, did it look like God was working for good? Didn't look like it, did it? Did anyone show that he believed that God was in charge and that good would come out of it? No one did, except Jesus himself. He knew it was God's will that he was being killed. And sure enough, even though nobody else saw it at the time, God was working. And through that horrible, nasty, cruel death that hurt and hurt and hurt, he was working the rescue of millions of people so that their sin could be forgiven and they could love him again. So will you learn verse 28 off by heart? Know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. It'll be like putting your seatbelt on in your car, preparing you for when bad things happen. It'll protect you knowing that verse. Or it'll be like getting an injection against measles or mumps. It'll protect you when that nasty disease comes along. If you learn that God is working for good in all things, it'll help you when hard things happen. So that's the second thing. Last thing, can you look at your cards, see the last thing from these great verses in the book of Romans? The last thing is nothing. Let's read it out loud. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So Paul asks a brilliant teacher's question in verse 35 of chapter 8. He asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives a list of things that people think might separate us from being loved by Jesus. Trouble, hardship, persecution. That's people making your life hard because you believe in Jesus. Famine, running out of food. Nakedness, having no clothes or no home. Danger, people out to get you. Sword, people out to kill you. Can any of that separate you from the love of Christ? And he says, verse 37, no. No, they can't. We will win in all of those situations. Verse 38, he says, and this is the one I want you to read out with me. Verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, keep going, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear how wide and tall and deep that list of things he gave was? It is a huge list. Everything in the whole universe is included in this list. It says, neither death nor life can separate you. So when you die, you won't be separated from Jesus. And whatever happens in this life, nothing can separate you from Jesus. Neither angels or demons, so that's supernatural powers, they can't separate you from the love of Jesus. Neither the present, what's going on now, or anything in the future can separate you from the love of Jesus. Nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. Hard things do happen. But are you ready to believe that nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus? Toby got separated from us when we were shopping once. He probably remembers that and is smiling. I don't remember it with a smile at all. It was horrible to be separated from Toby. We'd gone in from one shop to another shop, and Toby had gone back to the other shop, and we didn't realize it. And when we went looking for him, he wasn't in that shop either. He'd gone looking for our car down the wrong street. And he was separated from us for about 20 minutes. That was frightening. Being separated from someone who loves you and you love them is frightening. But nothing in the whole universe can separate us from the love of Jesus. So will you remember that when hard things happen to you? So three things from Romans chapter 8. I've just picked out three. This is a brilliant chapter to come back to. Why don't you stick that card somewhere where you'll see it? Somewhere you can get it out when you are having a hard thing happen to you. And go back and read this amazing encouragement from God. He knows hard things will happen to us. And he wants us to prepare us for when they do. Suffering now, glory later. Know that God works for good. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let me pray for us and pray for any who are suffering. And then I'll ask you to pray in your little family groups for people you know who are suffering. So let me pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you for the encouragement in the Bible of great words that keep us from despair, that help us to hope that you are in charge and that glory is coming and that nothing can separate us from your love. Prepare us for those hard times that will come. Strengthen those who are suffering now and encourage us to trust your word. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. So why don't you talk in your little family groups or whoever you're next to about people who are suffering, and you might think of Christians in the Middle East, you might think of a relative, and then pray for them to know these truths. Okay? We'll do that for 2 minutes. Do you want to draw those prayers to a close? And we're going to sing a song.